Daily breaking headlines paint the very accurate picture of a world that is falling apart without Jesus. Politically, spiritually, emotionally. Where are we headed next? Skywatch TV is here to announce our upcoming Fall Defender virtual conference that is set to be explosive and aims to help answer that very question. Hello and welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Horn. We have a big announcement to make today about our upcoming Fall Defender virtual conference. But before I reveal the name of the conference, let me tell you who's on deck. He's a multi-time critically acclaimed best-selling author and CEO of Skywatch Television, Dr. Thomas Horn. She's a credentialed, ordained reverend with a degree in Bible and theology, a powerful voice in Christian television, Donna Howell. He's a documentarian filmmaker, best-selling author, and nationally recognized radio personality, Josh Peck.
Thanks, Joe. Good to be here.
She is a credentialed private investigator that oversees the research arm of Skywatch TV and Defender Publishing, Allie Anderson. And his broadcasting career spanned over 25 years, and that was pre-Skywatch Television. He's the best-selling author of the groundbreaking books, The Great Inception and Last Clash of the Titans, Mr. Derek Gilbert. What an all-star lineup, and we're just getting started. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pivot to Derek Gilbert right away because we want to dive right into this big announcement surrounding our fall virtual conference from Defender Publishing. Derek, what's the name of the conference, why the name, and maybe a snapshot of what your presentation is going to be about?
Well, actually, they're all connected. Exposing the darkness seemed to be a pretty obvious thing. Connecting to your introduction, the world around us looks like it's falling apart. And Ephesians 5, verse 11 and 12, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. But then we go on from there. Why do we expose the darkness? It's not just so we can say, aha, caught ya. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is a reference to Isaiah chapter 26, which is one of the most interesting chapters in the Bible, a reference to 26:19 in the book of Isaiah. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. The prophet Isaiah was foreseeing a day that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 15. When in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed.
Right.
Resurrected. Isaiah saw it. And then he continues, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Now, Tom, I know you've talked and written about this, but when you look at the Septuagint, it doesn't quite mean the same thing. The modern English translation doesn't quite get it right. The Septuagint, which is a version translated from older Hebrew texts into Greek 200 years before the birth of Christ. The dead will rise, and those in the tombs will be raised, and those in the earth will be cheerful, for the dew from you, reference to God, is a remedy for them. But the land of the impious shall fall. The land of the ungodly will fall. Who does that refer to? Because earlier in Isaiah 20:16, he makes reference to who exactly will be resurrected. They are dead, they will not live. They are Rephaim, they will not arise. The land of the impious refers to the place where the sons of God from Genesis 6 are currently imprisoned, the abyss, the bottomless pit, Tartarus. Isaiah, in prophesying the resurrection of the faithful, was also prophesying the destruction of the spirits of the giants destroyed in the flood and their progenitors, the sinful sons of God from Genesis 6. Now, this all sounds weird, but it ties together with Ephesians 5. The reason that we expose the darkness is because a day is coming when we, the faithful, will be raised up and they will be destroyed. And that is connected to my presentation. Who exactly are these sinful angels, these sons of God who transgressed, who kept not their first estate or their proper dwelling? Archaeology shows us evidence that this practice of necromancy or consulting mediums to summon the spirits of what they were believed were the dead can actually be traced back to the plains of Ararat sometime between 5,000 and 4,000 BC. Now, that's as far back as the evidence goes. We don't know exactly when the flood happened. I believe that there was a global flood that destroyed things. But after the flood, we can document a practice of trying to summon these spirits who it was believed were now suddenly in the netherworld, just where Jude and Peter placed them, and very often on the other side of a body of water, like the river Styx in Greek mythology. It's not a coincidence. It's just a twisted version of the history that's in the Bible. And we can show this from archaeology, how that practice of summoning these spirits from the netherworld, who convinced humanity to this day that we can somehow make contact with them and that we will somehow live forever, a false promise. We can trace it all the way back to those who came down from the mountains after getting off the Ark of Noah. That's what my talk's going to be about.
That sounds explosive, wow. Derek. Yeah. We're going to talk about this in just a minute. Some of the presentations like Tom, who also talks about some spiritual things going on in the culture here in America, and particularly this darkness, this evil that's ripping the country apart, and less generically, violence. Mm-hmm. I mean, the demonic activity right now is surging like we've never seen in our lifetimes before. But before we get into that, Derek, who else are you aware of at this point that is a part of the Fall Virtual Conference that you're excited about?
Well, our good friend Aaron Lipkin, who is the fellow who coordinates our Israel tours,
yes.
And he, like us, is an archaeology nut, which is why we're so delighted that we go to Israel, and his tour guides love going to the same places we go to, like Joshua's altar, and he will be talking about some of the exciting finds at the altar of Joshua, which, if you're not familiar with this, the site of Joshua's altar, the literal altar, was found about 40 years ago by the late Israeli archaeologist Adam Tzertal. Aaron has been very instrumental in helping preserve some of what was excavated there, because that's in a site that is technically under Palestinian control, and they would just as soon not have it connect to the history of Israel.
Oh, for sure.
And archaeological evidence that Israel was in Canaan in 1400 BC. But there also was a recent discovery just within the last year of a lead curse tablet written in Proto-Hebrew that dates to about the time of the Judges, found on the site of Joshua's altar. So Aaron will be giving presentations on that, and kudos to him for helping to preserve that material. Joel Richardson will be speaking, and he's going to talk about
awesome.
The mainstreaming of psychedelics, virtual reality technology, and sorcery in the Bible, and how that has become part and parcel of our modern world.
Right. Yeah.
And also a new fellow that has not previously presented at our virtual conference is Dr. Igal German,
okay.
who is a Messianic Jew. He is now living in Chicago, and he is the founder of Yesod Bible Institute in Chicago, also the Institute of Biblical Apologetics. And we love Bible apologetics because we need to teach our children how they can know that they know that they know that the Word of God is true and accurate.
Right.
He'll be talking about the spirit of Amalek, exposing the spirit of Amalek and exposing the spirit of manipulation. Very excited to have him on board. We also know that Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis will be speaking,
yep.
our friend Dr. Judd Burton, Dr. Michael Spaulding, who is a theologian and very knowledgeable on spiritual warfare. They will also be putting together presentations.
Yeah, so we're still waiting on some people to give us their final word, but we're talking between 2 to 3 dozen of the greatest minds in theology, prophecy, philosophy, and I'm just talking about Derek Gilbert.
We haven't even got Russell. What about the rest of us, Tom? I know that Daniel Belt and I are going to try to talk about long COVID and what we've learned scientifically about its effects on people, what they're experiencing with symptoms after they've recovered from COVID and have gone on to have anomalous microclotting, and what is a cytokine storm, and what are these phrases that you're hearing, and why does dad continue to maybe struggle with cardiovascular? And one of the biggest motivations for me initially was that, you know, as many of the people that watch this program, Tom, know that you've had some issues that you've struggled with since your recovery from COVID almost a year ago. And it was my mission in life to figure out what was happening. So I've been talking with some of the brightest minds on earth, in my view, about what we've learned. And I'm telling you guys, there is some science here that is mind-boggling. A lot of people that have come through COVID that are experiencing long loss of taste and smell, long loss of hair, long-standing cardiovascular or kidney anomalistic type biological breakdown, are almost mimicking what is known to a lot of medical doctors and the people that study, you know, health anomalies, expressing itself almost like Epstein-Barr, which is a terrible virus that becomes chronic and very difficult to manage, almost Lyme's-esque. So why is that happening? What's happening in the body? But that's something Daniel Belt and I hope to do so that our viewers have some insights as to what they can do nutritionally to start, you know, things like Alzheimer's, dementia. COVID is destroying a lot of the neurology between the brain and brain function, memory recall, vitamin B6, et cetera. So we're going to be blasting everybody with what we've learned 2 years post-COVID about how to make sure that, A, you don't contract it, keeping your defense high as possible. If you do, blunting the edge of that cytokine storm, and then how to set yourself up post-COVID to recover quickly and minimize the potential for something like a long COVID or a secondary onset autoimmune type residue.
And I want to go on record as saying that the only reason I'm sitting here alive is because of the protocol that you had me on before I went to the COVID tower, and then the additional stuff you added when I came down out of the COVID tower. Now, I still am experiencing some of long COVID, but I'm better each day than I was the day before. So that just tells me that what I'm doing, what I'm taking, these nutrients, they are powerful. Even some government studies show they're more powerful than their pharmaceutical equivalents.
I'm sincere when I say this. I can't draw my next breath that God doesn't permit me to. So I have to give God all of the credit for your recovery and me just being someone who maybe helped aggregate some of the insights to how some of these herbs and stuff work, but he created everything, and I'm so thankful for his insight.
But a lot of people, my point is, a lot of people out there could benefit from this because they're having the same experiences and they do not know what to do.
Well, and they are, time is short, but the information is not robust. It's not available in a lot of places. You have to really dig, and a lot of it is being stifled on purpose. Okay, moving on. Josh Peck is in-house. What is your presentation about?
Well, CERN has fired up the LHC again. If people aren't familiar with that, the Large Hadron Collider is basically a large particle collider that they have on the border of Switzerland and France, and CERN is the governing body that decides what kind of experiments they're going to do. Well, they have increased the power, and there's always a lot of sensationalized fear around things like that,
right?
But there are also some legitimate concerns. So in my presentation, I'm going to go through both of those. I'm going to talk about what are the actual legitimate spiritual concerns, things like portals, possibly leading to things like Revelation 9 with the locusts and everything. I'll be talking about that. But then what are some of the kind of more sensational ones,
right?
Such as, is it going to create a black hole? That kind of thing. Is there any reality?
That's what I love about your approach, though, Josh, because I've actually brought some of this to you.
Yeah.
In breaking headlines, let's say 6 weeks ago, people were in a panic about the fact they were going to start up the Hadron Collider again. And I came to you and I said, man, what is your feeling about some of this? And I laughed because he said a lot of it is sensational.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the biggest overstated thing that people need not to fear of at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there are these layers where, like you said, could we be seeing parts of the Book of Revelation play out with some of the actual science that people can't actually quantify? They are messing with stuff and hoping when they turn it on, we'll all be fine.
Well, I think that's part of the problem, too, because one thing to hopefully relax some people out there is CERN right now isn't doing anything that cosmic rays entering our atmosphere aren't already doing and have been doing since the Earth was created. So say the fear of a black hole. If that was going to happen, that would have already happened millions of times over. And so no planet. But legitimate concerns around like portals or something like that too. But the main thing to take away is I think with the spiritual issues, it's all about intent. So cosmic rays going into the atmosphere, that just happens naturally. But when human beings try to harness something they don't fully understand, like at the LHC at CERN and run these experiments, does the intent behind it have something to do with what could possibly happen, such as a portal opening or some kind of communication between our plane of existence and a higher reality? So there are some legitimate biblical concerns.
And their own director of science said the same thing.
Yep.
We may open a portal and something may come through the portal. We may send something through it.
Yeah.
So they definitely are doing that. You know, you look at Shiva standing out there doing the dance of creation where it destroys everything and then puts it all back together again. There's a lot around it. They're either playing games with us, or there is an occult element to some of what is going on at CERN, at least in the minds of some of the people who are working there.
Yeah, and that's what the intent, because like you said, I mean, some of those scientists have come on record to say, we are going to try to open a portal, we are going to try to communicate and see if anything's there, well, right. then there's an intention. I mean, that's almost Tower of Babel stuff.
Well, sure, and we know from the Bible, yes, there is something there.
Yep.
The Bible talks about the angelic realm, the demonic realm,
yeah.
principalities and powers, so we know that.
I don't want to make light of the situation here, but one of the unintended consequences of the war in Ukraine right now is that the price of electricity in Europe has spiked by a factor of like 13 over where it was 2.5 years ago. So they might not be able to switch on CERN.
Oh, geez.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if the apocalypse was delayed because of Vladimir Putin?
Oh, my goodness. Tom, let's switch gears, because with just a few minutes on the clock, I want to make sure that each of you get a chance to talk a little bit about your presentations for the upcoming conference. And like I said earlier in the program, the spirit of almost violence, demonic hatred, the desire for somebody to literally, physically dismantle someone that disagrees with their worldview, like just a searing hatred that is not reconcilable without a spiritual component, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What is behind this violence that's taking place in the U.S.?
You're not overstating this at all. In fact, it could have been an understatement. It's far worse than most people even realize. There's a brand new study out of the United Kingdom from Verus Maplecroft. Have you seen that?
I have not.
But it's a study on soaring food, energy, shelter inflation, what it's all leading to. And what they've concluded is that it is leading to global civil unrest. Mm. We, in fact, could be heading towards a civil war, not only in America, but in other countries. They write this: pockets of unrest have been observed around the globe. New research forecasts a broader wave of discontent is just ahead. So it's not waning. They're predicting it's going to get worse.
Sure.
The United Nations agreed and said that we are marching toward civil unrest and political violence. But the report by Verus Maplecroft is a UK-based consulting and intelligence firm. They just published an updated version of what is called the Civil Unrest Index, or the CUI, covering 7 years of data. And this shows that the last quarter saw the most countries ever, since the index was created, move higher into civil unrest risk. So this is not us inflating this. It's actually worse than most people realize. One final thing they write here: the impact is evident across the globe, with popular discontent over rising living costs. I wonder who caused that. Emerging on the streets of developed and emerging markets alike, Verus wrote in the report that conditions are worsening as the frequency of protests could accelerate into this fall, although there have been several high-profile and large-scale protests during the first half of 2022, the worst is undoubtedly yet to come, the Science Board has warned. Now, they're doing that based on what is happening in the real world and the statistics around it. Now, what I do, though, I start with some of the statistics. I even ask the question, what in the other world is going on? But then I quickly move over to wanting to talk about supernaturalism, that this is even part of prophecy. Daniel prophesied that in the latter days, quote, when the transgressors, that's the Hebrew term for revelers, street violence, all that, when they have come to their full, then a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. So what Daniel is saying is that just ahead of arrival of Antichrist, there will be these Obama-like street agitators that will be out there creating chaos in the streets. Basically, it's the French Revolution all over again. And that then the world will be brought to a place where everybody will be crying out, we need a savior. We need somebody to save us from this chaos. It's getting terrible. It's getting awful. You can't even go out on the street. A mother of two young children this last week, right, being abducted and murdered. And it's going over and over. There's two 14-year-old kids, a 14-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl, that beat a senior citizen to death recently with a traffic cone. What is going on? That's the question that I asked. But then
you couldn't even.
But then I go behind it to, from Jesus saying Satan is a killer, and he has been from the beginning. I go to what this is all about, and I ask this big question: is there any way we can shut murder's mouth? And I go into a lot of details about how that could happen. Josh Peck filmed me, and Josh told me when I was leaving that that was the best presentation that I had ever made.
Wow.
So excited about people being able to see it. And we've only scratched the surface because we want to give everybody a chance to weigh in.
Of course, of course. Say it one more time, though. Shutting murder's mouth?
Shutting murder's mouth.
What an interesting
proposition. And here's the thing. There are two Greek words in the New Testament that refer to demonic activity. And one of them is deamanazome. Now, that's just a general word. It just means demonic activity. It could be possession. It could be you're afflicted by a demon. It could be whatever. But the other word is more interesting, ekon deamanion. Now, why is that interesting? Because deamanazome can be referred to as being possessed by a demon, but ekon deamanion means it was the person who actually went after demonic influences to possess the demon. Yeah. So this is Saul going to the witch of Endor, going against the law of God. This is what we're doing today. We're rejecting God. We're rejecting Christ. We are literally racing towards another French Revolution. And in the French Revolution, and I'm going to quit with this, but in the French Revolution, historians wrote about how the entire activity came under the influence of what they called an egregore. Right? A watcher, a demonic force that was fueled by street agitation and incivility and antichrist activities.
I think people that feel that that is an impossibility here in the United States is grossly mistelegraphing what is, I think, right ahead. But unfortunately, we have to move on. This is just a snapshot of these presentations, ladies and gentlemen. But with just a few minutes left, Donna, you're also doing a presentation, and you've discovered some secret insights as to how Jesus appears in the 66 books of the Bible. Is this what your presentation is covering?
Yeah, so essentially you could also repackage it to say all the stuff that Tom just said is fixed by Jesus, right? We are absolutely primed for mass revival. And if that isn't absolutely true right here and right now, it's certainly true in Revelation when 144,000 people go out there and spread the word of God in a messianic Jewish format that we can't even understand right now because Paul is the representative of them, right? So this presentation actually does, to some degree, converge, but it's also different from some of the things that we're going to be covering in the Mystery of Jesus shows that we're getting ready to do in the next few weeks. It does cover different facts and figures, so it supplements it, really, but also it's a visual learning tool. And just to kind of touch on a couple of things that I'm going to be covering, first of all, Ecclesiastes, people have no idea that that book is not a pessimistic book. It actually repudiates pessimism, and it does so by having been written in a known form of literature. It was a literary device, completely extinct across the globe now, but very, very, very much common in Solomon's day, and by the way, only common to a king. So what exactly is that literary format device that he's using? We're going to be talking about that. People always want to say, well, why is Ruth even in the Bible? Okay, I got the answer. It's because the genealogy of Christ is traced through that. Boy, is that only the beginning.
Yeah.
There is a major, major moment in the Bible talking about your futures, your future, and it is all predicted, explained, described, and beautifully laid out in the book of Ruth. Who would have known that the book of Ruth has so much to say?
Well, I pastored 25 years, and I did not know what you were pointing out to me the other day, and it is some of the most explosive material ever. Gave me cold chills.
And then there's other things that, you know, another 25-year pastor may or may not know what is hidden in the secrets of the obedience of the Magi who followed the Bethlehem Star, the unbelievable political implications that that had in that day, what it did to the unseen realm, the practice of sorcery. There is so much in what Jesus actually appears. There have been other books that talk about how Jesus appears in the 66 books of the Bible. I just got to say, it doesn't even scratch the surface of what our book has to say and our presentations on the same subject.
Right.
Wow.
Allie, with just a couple of minutes on the clock, now your presentation, you're making the statement that while anyone can receive the free gift of salvation, it isn't until a person truly understands the nature of sin and how it separated us from God that a person can really understand the depth of what Christ did on the cross. Now, explain that very briefly.
Well, in a couple of minutes, I can't.
But I know.
What I will say, here are some of the questions that I'm going to tackle in my presentation. Because what we see is a crisis of relevance between the church and society right now. And there are a lot of very tough questions that people ask, and Christians will innately know the answer. And they'll say, well, just because it is, or because the Bible says so. But getting in a situation where you can articulate the answers to these questions is really what it's going to take to reach people who are done listening to questions that you can't answer and just going, oh, because you say so.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some questions I'm going to tackle. If God is such a loving God, why do people go to hell? What about once saved, always saved? If nothing can separate us from the love of God, then aren't we always saved once we're saved? What was the first sin? I'm going to tell you a spoiler. It's not about fruit. If God knows my heart and I mean well and I already gave my heart to him, then I'm good, right? I can just do what I want, right? How do we safeguard against sin once we have made a decision for Christ? How do we make a decision for Christ? How do we engage in spiritual warfare? And again, it's not what you think. So those are the questions that I'm going to tackle, and I will, of course, elaborate during my presentation. But these are the kinds of things we have a lot of. If God is such a loving God, why does he send people to hell? And people go, well, people choose to go to hell. Well, articulate what you mean by that. So we're going to go through a lot of that kind of stuff so that people who are witnessing don't hit a roadblock with these questions.
You know, I'm just going to say it. I'm serious, Tom. I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm thinking this could be our most explosive virtual conference yet. But before we run out of time, Derek, there's a couple of dates that people are going to want to mark on their calendar so that they don't miss this. Also, an opportunity with an early bird special to save.
Right. DefenderConference.com will have all the information. DefenderConference.com. This will go live on the web on November 4th, Friday, November 4th. But if you register by 2 weeks before that, October 21st, you'll save $10 off the registration. Normally $95, just $85 if you register by October 21st. And again, it will launch, go live on the web on November 4th.
So mark those dates on your calendar. Before we run out of time, I want to throw a couple additional names out that we recently had confirmed. Very exciting. Mondo de la Vega.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be submitting a presentation. Dr. Ken Johnson will be submitting a presentation. Also, Jonathan Brentner will be submitting a presentation. Troy Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I will bait you with something that is top secret knowledge. If I advertised our virtual conference without mentioning Kenny C, Guy Watch number one Uber super fan of the globe, we would be totally remiss. Kenny C is undergoing some things in his life right now, medically, so be praying for him. But he wants to be a part of this. And here's the thing. I am absolutely forbidden to talk about the details of this at all. But if Kenny comes out of this thing that he's doing, on the other side of this, with gains to his health that defy medical explanation, I believe that Skywatch TV is going to help platform that testimony. And I think, seriously, if things work out for Kenny the way he and I are praying that they do, it is going to revolutionize the lives of tens of thousands of people that are facing prognosis that doctors are describing as irreversible. That's all I can say. So be praying for Kenny's health, but also be praying that this is the kind of knowledge that God will let go of like a flood in the last days. Because I'm telling you, this could be so big, I couldn't overstate it.
Yeah.
This is bigger than, yeah. Okay. Kenny, we are praying for you, and we hope that you're strong enough to submit the virtual conference. I know that we got a lot of people clamoring to hear what it is you have to say. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we're all out of time. So for everybody here in-house, are you excited about the virtual conference? For everybody on panel, I'm Joe Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We will be back.